tell the story of God's redemption plan. How Jesus died to take our sin away. But my finest words cannot express what one old rugged tree said best. For nailed to it was all God had to say. Two pieces of wood and the cross said it all.
He could write it in the heavens. He can spell it in the stars. He could paint it across the sky for all to forgiveness still resounds from Calvary.
The cross said it all. The cross said it all. Without a word, God's heart was hurt for the cross. Three nails and two pieces of wood and the cross said it all. It's more than a symbol of suffering or a picture of pain and agony. For there at the cross, every soul that was lost found a bridge from earth to eternity. The cross said it all. The cross said it all. Without a word, God's heart was hurt for the cross. Two pieces of wood and the cross, and the cross, the cross, yes, the cross said it all, said it all.
Thank you for that. Why don't we stand if we are able this morning just for the reading of the scripture, and then we'll let you be seated. If I can get a little bit more monitor, just a little bit more volume, it'd be great for me. I don't know how it sounds out there, but I just want to be able to hear myself. Okay, it's 1 Corinthians chapter number 13. 1 Corinthians chapter number 13. We're going to read through the whole chapter this morning. It will not take long. It's not a long chapter. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 1. It says, though I speak with the tongues of men and angels, and have not charity. Charity is another name for love. I am become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But that when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know, even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three. But the greatest of these is charity. And let's pray. Father, I pray that you'd bless our message this morning. Help us as we start to look at this subject. I pray that you'd speak to our heart through your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. We are in a little mini-series about the big three that are mentioned here in verse 13 of 1 Corinthians. It mentions faith, hope, and charity. It says that these three qualities, Christian characters, Christian graces as some call them, they abide, they last, they continue, they can be counted on, they are solid. We started looking at these. We looked the first week at great faith. Last week, we looked at hope. Faith is rooted in trusting the Bible and acting upon it because of that trust. Hope is an assurance of what God has promised us in the future. It's not wishful thinking. It's a rock-solid trust that what God has said will happen. It's just happening in the future, and we know it's going to happen. But as we finish this up, it will take a few weeks looking at the last one, which is charity or love. The Bible says the greatest of the three is love. Love is misunderstood. Fact of the matter is, most people haven't a clue as to what real, honest, biblical love. We throw that word around very, very quickly, right? Some of us, we love our sports teams. Okay? And for some people, that could be quite painful. Aren't you a 49ers fan? Yeah, Kaepernick, okay, this figures. how many games have they won this year? Counting the first one, it'd be one, okay? But, you know, we love our football team. We love our basketball team. We love certain food. By the way, just the fact that I said that, I guarantee you something jumped in your mind, right? Because whatever it is, that's what we're going to be eating in heaven. Except for fish, and except for McDonald's. I confessed a sin in Sunday school class. How many of you want to hear it? We went out with. No, I didn't eat fish. That would be a grievous sin. I went out with the girls in the family and my wife, and one of the grandkids was with us, I think. And yeah, Ellie. So we did a little Christmas shopping, and they wanted to eat. I'm like, where do you guys want to eat? They said it, McDonald's. I'm like, I preach against it. It's bad. And so I said, okay, I'll tell you what. I'll take you, but you got to promise you don't tell anybody. And you know what? They're not going to tell anybody, and no one's going to know. I will say this. We came out of McDonald's after we were done. By the way, I had breakfast at McDonald's for dinner because I figured that's not quite as bad as the stuff they say is food. But we came out, and there's a French fry in the ground, and there's two huge beetles or water bugs or oversized cockroaches eating the French fry. I'm like, yep, that's the kind of people that eat that stuff. Now, but anyhow, back to the reality. There's a certain food that comes to your mind, right? For me, I love mashed potatoes and gravy. Can I get a witness? Amen. Man, I don't care. You could serve dog food, but if you have mashed potatoes and gravy on the plate, I'll eat the mashed potatoes and gravy. I'm not eating the dog food. But there, we love food. By the way, some of us, we love coffee. I knew I'd get you on that one. Did you know in the New Testament talks about the water of life that's going to be the river of life that's flowing past the throne of God in heaven? That's coffee. I'm sure it is. Okay? Coffee. We love certain clothes, you know. Oh, this is I love this shirt. It's my favorite shirt. I love this tie. Now, we say those things, but then we also say, I love my wife. Well, where is she in the whole line? Is she better than that tie? Or you know, is it your wife or mashed potatoes and gravy? My brother has raised pigeons since a hobby when he was a teenager. He started raising, you remember my brother Jack? We'd live in apartments, and he'd go to the back and find a place and build a pigeon cage. And he still does it to this day, but he raises high-end pigeons, and he sells them, he makes money. But he told me one time, he goes, one of his friends, lifelong pigeon raiser like him, you know, and had all these pigeons, and he said, his wife said, you know what, I'm tired of those pigeons. Not my brother, his friend said, wife came to him and said, I'm tired of those pigeons. Either the pigeons go or I go. And he said, that's not fair. I've had the pigeons longer. But, you know, we love our wife. I love my family. I love my brothers and sisters in the church, most of them. I love my church. I love my Savior. Now, when I say I love mashed potatoes and gravy and I love my wife, is that the same thing? In my mind, it is. You know what I love? I love when my wife makes mashed potatoes and gravy. No. And I understand, when we're just saying that, we're just saying we have a fondness for it. I get it. But we don't understand what love is. I know what love is not. It's not a feeling. You know, if love is nothing more than a feeling, do you know feelings come and go? Right? You ever change your mind about things? I remember last year the Lakers, the guard, Russell. And they drafted him. He's supposed to be a good player. The boys be watching the game. I'm like, that guy stinks. What a waste. And I saw him this year, and I got to change my mind. He's actually pretty good. But I kind of liked it last year when every time he got the ball, it's like, yep, he stinks. They're like, give him a chance. I'm like, no. But feelings come and go. One thing is great. No, that's not great. That's not love, by the way. And by the way, that's why we have so many problems in our society, particularly in our families and our relationships, because we think love is a feeling. It's not a feeling. It's not based on self. Most people, the things they love or what they say they love is based on what they get from it. But as soon as they quit getting from it that which is a blessing or a help to them, then they'll stop loving it. We don't understand love. What is love? You know, love's a decision. Therefore, if it's a decision, it's within my control. You know, when I was courting my wife, I did not fall in love with her. Because I looked up the definition of fall, to stumble, to trip, to hurt oneself. That kind of describes a relationship now, but not back then. Just kidding. I didn't fall into love. We courted and dated each other to the point where I said, this is someone that I want. I decided to love her. It's a decision. It's within my control. Sometimes people get caught up in a bad relationship or bad something. It's like, well, I just can't control myself. Yes, you can. It's a commitment. Because it's a commitment, you don't stop loving. I'm using marriage because that's just an easy one. Okay? You know, if I decided to love my wife, then I'm going to be committed to that love to the end. It's a commitment. We just don't understand love. It's also an action. Do you know love is evidence in your behaviors? Here's, oh, I love my family, and yet you're never with them. You never do anything for them. Is that really love? No, that's an emotion you have. Love is very easily evidenced in all the things that you do. This chapter that we read, and we're just going to look at a few verses this morning, is a great, it's called the great love chapter of the Bible. But we have to understand the context in which it was written. And by the way, for Christians, we ought to understand love. Jonathan Swift, the author of Gulliver's Travels, said this, and it's a condemnation. He said, we have just enough religion to make us hate, but not enough to make us love. That's true. We just don't understand it. The church that Paul wrote this to, the Corinthian church, was a very, very, I guess for lack of a better term, was a bad church. They lived in a very affluent, a very important city when it came to commerce. And it was a pretty good-sized city, and they had a lot of money and a lot of stuff going on. But when you have that type of city, of course, you're also going to have a lot of bad things going on in that city. It's a very sinful city. You know, history tells us that it was a byword for that which is wrong, you know, like, oh, you're acting like a Corinthian. That was a, you know, we would think of it as we maybe like Las Vegas or something like that. It was a very bad city. That wasn't the problem for the church that it was in a city like that. The problem with the church was it had started to act and become like the city in which it was in. In other words, the bad things that were going on outside in the city, with those that don't know God, were now coming into the church, and the church was not dealing with it very well. And so Paul wrote this letter, and it's a letter, of course it's scripture, but we learn from it to deal with their issues. They had sinful behavior that was being allowed in the church and disgraced it, and people were promoting it. They were disorderly in their service times. There was division in the church. You had people said, I'm of this person. And others said, no, I'm of this person. Another said, I am of this person. And then the spiritual one said, well, I'm of Jesus. But none of them were working together. They had selfishness. They were in lawsuits with one another before unsaved people. They were the alleged spiritual gifts they were using in the church. They were envious and they were abusing them one to another. And so Paul has dealt with many of these issues leading up to chapter 13, but when he gets to chapter 13, he's kind of putting a bow on everything he says and says, this is the thing that's really going to help you to get over it. What is going to help them? If they really understood biblical love. If they just got that, all those problems and all those things that were going on in the church that were bad, they could get over. By the way, what's encouraging is if you read 2 Corinthians, you kind of get the idea that they listened. They started to go forward. But it was love. The same is true today. Why is love so important? Why is it such a big deal? Well, I'll tell you a few reasons why. Did you know that God is love? 1 John 4:5 says, he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. God, see, we say God loves us, and we'll look at a verse here, and God does love us. But love is more than what God does. Love is a description of who God is. God's love for us is based on the fact that God is love himself. By the way, isn't that comforting? Aren't you glad we serve a biblical God that loves us and speaks about love? There are many gods in this world that false gods people worship. You know, Allah's not like that. He's not a God of love. Many of the religions serve a God that they don't know. He's kind of ambiguous. We don't know. Does he love us or does he not love us? But I can tell you this, God loves us because God is love. Now, that's very good when you consider we're sinful people. Man, if God wasn't love and we were sinful people, watch out. But you know what? God is love. Did you know love's a big deal? Because our salvation is based on God's love. Romans chapter 5 says this, but God commendeth his love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Even though we were sinners, and even though we don't deserve anything of God's grace and God's goodness, did you know God loves us? And he proved it by the fact that even though we weren't desiring him, even though really mankind has done nothing but spit in his face for thousands of years, he loved us in our bad state, and so he sent Jesus Christ to die for our sins. That's called selflessness. John 3:16, we all know it. For God so loved the world that he gave. Do you know if God said he loved us and yet did nothing about our sin, we would deserve that. But in essence, his love would have not done anything for us. Aren't you glad God loves us and he did something about it? Did you know love is a sign to those that don't know Christ that we are Christ? Let me read a few verses from John chapter 13. He says, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another, as I have loved you, that ye love one another. Then he says this, very interesting. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples. He goes, I'm going to tell you how people will know whether or not you're a Christian. You ready? If ye have love one to another. But wait a minute. I thought they would know we're Christians because we carry a Bible. There's a lot of people that carry Bibles. Most of them need to dust that thing off and actually get into it. Okay? Remember those, you know those old big family, mostly Catholics have them, the old big family Bibles? They're huge. You know, most people got those and put them on their coffee table. Uh-oh, there's that word again. Coffee. Just had to stop for a second. Having a love. Okay. But they put it on their coffee table. They never open it. It's nothing more than show. But you know what? People don't know we're Christians just because we carry. Well, they know I'm a Christian because I have a T-shirt. The T-shirt says, he loved you this much. They're going to know I'm a Christian because I have my Savior is the ultimate lifeguard. Or Jesus is the reason for the season. And by the way, I'm not against any of that. But you know the number one thing that tells people that our love for God and our Christianity is real? When they see us loving one another. You know why? You don't always see that in the world. Now, by the way, I don't think the world, the world's a bad place, but you know, for the most part, people try to help one another. I get that. But so often we're so caught up in what we're doing that there's not a whole lot of connection there. But when someone comes in or they're around you, it's like, those Christians really care and love for one another. They can't argue with that. That gets in their mind. Love is important. And it's also a relationship. It's also evidence of our relationship with God. 1 John chapter 4, verse 7 and 8 says, beloved, let us love one another. Why? For love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. You know, a person that can't love somebody and have the right kind of biblical love, that is evidence that they probably do not know Christ. And by the way, let me say this. Love isn't going around throwing flowers at each other, okay? Okay, there's obedience to the Bible and all those things, so don't go to pot on it. But you know what? If we don't love, we really don't know God. Now, what's he going to talk to us about? Love is very, very important. Love makes a great impact. Look at the first three verses. We'll make a few comments and we'll be done this morning. Love is very, very impactful. Verse 1, he says, though I speak with the tongues of men and angels, and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. What he is saying is, like, you know, if I have this great voice, and that's, it's like the voice of an angel, it's like the voice of God, and it's really impressive, but I don't have love, it's just background noise. That's all it is. You know, people don't need to just talk the talk. They need to walk the walk. It's not what we say. It's what's behind it. If we are trying to do anything without love, it's just noise. Just background noise that has no significance whatsoever. He moves on. He says in verse 2, and though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have faith so that I can remove mountains and have not charity, I'm nothing. And we won't get into it this week, but the gift of prophecy. There were spiritual gifts in the Bible that we no longer have. Okay? Tongues. Okay? You hear these people, blah, 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 blah. There's none of God in that. There are certain things, prophecy, the telling forth of a specific truth, because the Bible was not yet written and God touched men back in this time as the scripture was being written, but those are done away with now. But Paul is saying, I could have these great spiritual gifts. I could have prophecy and I could have great faith where I could say, mountain, you move. And I believed it must, so it did move. And he goes, but if I have not charity, now look at what he says. I am nothing. The first thing he said is, I could have this great voice and speak like an angel, and it's not going to help anybody. It's just background noise. There's nothing to it. Now he says, if I have these spiritual gifts and I'm doing all of this stuff, but I'm not doing it in love, he goes, I'm nothing. He's talking personally. I can have these great gifts, and I can get up and do all these. I could get up and say, you know, these fake faith healers. And by the way, it's fake. If I knew how to spell fake, I'd spell, I have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. He says, I could take everything I have, and I could use that to buy food or whatever the necessities for those who are poor. I can get rid of everything and just give it to those who are poor, legitimately poor. Or he says, or I stand up for Christ, and I'm willing to be a martyr, have my body burned. By the way, there are martyrs around this world. I've read the numbers and seen the numbers where there's more martyrs now than have ever been. Just that our liberal media is more interested in Fidel Castro and his healthcare system than people being killed by radical Islam, communism. I don't care what Bernie Sanders says. Communism's dumb. We're more concerned about that garbage than Christians being killed around the world. They won't say anything about it. But he says, even if it came to a point in this country where they said, you renounce Christ or we're going to kill you, and you said, I'm going to give my body, and they burned you at a stake. He says, if you have no love, he says, it profiteth me nothing. It doesn't help you at all. What is he trying to say? What are we trying to say this morning? Love's a big deal. And everything we are to do for God ought to be backed with love. You know, our motives are important. And by the way, I understand. If you're driving a bus, you ought to drive a bus because you love God. Now, I know you wake up in the morning, and it's like when your alarm clock goes off in the morning, you don't love anything. You don't even know who God is. You just know, kill the alarm clock. How many of you are there, right? If you get up in the morning and say, oh man, I don't want to do it anyhow because you want to. But you understand, your ultimate motive as you get there is love. Love for people. Love for people. You're going on those bus routes, they wouldn't be able to come to church if you didn't pick them up. You come this morning, it's like, man, I want to come to church. And then you remember, I'm on the nursery schedule. I got to sit in there with those little, those wonderful children. But you're doing it because you may not enjoy it all the time, but you're doing it out of heart of love. You know, I love God, and I love other people. It's got to be our motivation. Or Paul says, if we don't have the proper motive of love, if we don't understand love, we're not committed, then everything we do is nothing more than noise. I'm really accomplishing nothing, and I'm getting no profit out of it. Let's quit looking at the world kind of love. Let me say this and I'm done. The world's kind of love is Isaac and Esau. Bible says something very, very sad. It says, Isaac loved Esau because he did eat of his venison. He had Esau and he had Jacob. And you know why he liked Esau better? Because Esau was a hunter and brought him good food. Venison with mashed potatoes and gravy. He loved that son because of what that son did for him. That's not love. That's self-serving. What's your motivation today? Maybe you don't even understand love. You say, man, I've been loving because I want it for me. Loving is about others. And you know what the good thing is? When we love correctly and we do things in love, the byproduct is we are blessed by it. And we do get back. But let's have the right kind of biblical love. Let's all stand this morning, please.